Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is August 11th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by going to MotoVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. But we love having you on live. And if you are listening to this via recording, we'd love to hear from you and hear what you think. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Is there anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country? Or does anybody have any questions that we could answer for you or attempt to answer for you? Anybody have anything?
I got nothing. Other than what our topic is today.
I was waiting for you this time.
You wait for me,
No. I was waiting.
Just anybody? Topic.
Go ahead. So with that, we'll jump right into the topic then. So little bit of exciting things happening in the MotoVitality MV Marketplace world. As we mentioned a couple weeks ago, we are head first into building and getting ready our warehouse and our training facility. We worked the last 2 days on putting drain line in so that we can build and build these models for service and install training. It's really exciting. I can't wait to share with everybody what's happening there. And to send out video and pictures and all that stuff. So it's been pretty exciting. But in the warehouse, one of the things, it's always interesting, and I know that you guys on the call, listening to this or out there in the industry, our industry is in so many ways different than anybody else's, but in a lot of ways it's also very similar. And you know, there are different departments, and we've talked about this before, this topic, but I felt like given the experience that I had yesterday with our security system set up, that it would be worth it to go back and address it again, and just to talk about it again, because I just feel like it's so critically important. So let me kind of share with you what happened. So we've got the warehouse, and I needed to set up a security system, the alarm system for it. And so you go through the process of calling a couple different companies. There was one particular company that already had a couple old panels. So apparently they are not the ones who did the security for the last tenants that were in this warehouse. But they're a well-known company, a national company, and there were some old panels on the garage door and on the entry doors coming in and out. And so I thought, well, maybe it makes sense to call this company and get a quote simply because, they've already got equipment there. Maybe it might be easier for them to hook it up or whatever. So I called them, and it's a national company. In fact, it's a company that Jen and I, when we interview sales personnel, it's not uncommon to see people who are applying for the position in water treatment to have worked at this company at some point in their career. We interview a lot of people who used to work at this company. So I have to admit, I was a little bit, you guys know how, if you've ever waited tables before, you're critical of servers, or if you're in sales, you know what it's like to be a good salesperson. I mean, I think we kind of all have that curse, right? We know our job, we know when somebody is doing a good job and when they're not. And I was nervous about that automatically, about the salesperson. I call the call center and I get somebody that's, I don't know, I mean, you guys hear me on this call. You know that I like to, you know, I talk to people friendly and stuff like that, but they were just very businesslike. Fine, I can do that. I can do businesslike. I can do businesslike. I can, you know, not be friendly, and I can be robotic if that's what you feel like you need to do. It wasn't a warm and fuzzy, but it's a security system, and maybe they're not supposed to be warm and fuzzy. Maybe they're supposed to, you know, whatever. So I have to admit, even though I tried not to, I probably had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder when the sales guy was coming. I was expecting a big, long, pushy, high-pressure sales, especially given what I have heard about this company in the past. And so the sales guy, though, showed up on time, was very pleasant, was not high pressure at all, was very informative, asked me a lot of questions, found out what I was looking for. He frankly did a phenomenal job. I was kind of blown away. And given the fact that I wasn't even at neutral for him to impress, I was below that. You know, like I said, I had kind of had this had set myself up, this cynical expectation of what I was probably going to get. The fact that he overcame that, and in fact, I mean, it had been my intent to shop. I was going to look around. And in fact, I already pay for, I mean, it's suspended right now, but I have a different security system. I'm just going to use it in my home, you know, one that I already own the equipment for. It's more of a do-it-yourself connect, you know, hook everything else up yourself. But I was thinking about putting that one in the office because I know the monitoring, I know the features, I know how to do it. I was just going to compare what the service was. But the sales guy did such a good job. And the price was reasonable, and the installation was there, and I signed up right then and there. Which, lesson number one, the relevance of this. Just because somebody tells you, which I did, I told him I was not going to sign up today, that I was just looking at prices and that I was shopping, and yet an hour later, a little less than an hour later, there I was signing and giving money to him. So just because a customer says that, they might change their mind. So, you know, I truly believed I was not going to sign up that day. That was not my intent at all. So it's not like I was lying to him. He just did a good enough job that he helped it make sense, helped me understand that it made sense to do it. So I liked him. I liked him a lot. He gave me a cell number. He was polite. You know, he was great. Then we set up I started getting the calls from the company, and they scheduled it for yesterday morning at 9 o'clock that they were going to be here. Come around 10 o'clock, I get I was getting the text messages. I mean, the company's set up to where they're sending you text messages. Your tech is on his way. Congratulations on your installation. It's happening today. You know, I love that. I love the communication. That's great. So I get these text messages from, you know, and I'm expecting them, you know, 9:30, thereabouts. And I understand service, right? So sales is different. If you have a 10 o'clock appointment, you show up at 10 o'clock. If you have, you know, a service appointment, I understand that sometimes it takes longer. That's most companies out there don't give a specific time for the service guy to show up. They're going to give a range. It's going to be between 9 and 11 or, you know, something like that, right? That's pretty typical. What did bother me was that the guy, when he... I got the first phone call, and we don't have signage up on the building yet, so I understand this. But he was late. And, you know, there's two ways to do this. You call and say, hey, where are you guys? I can't, you know, which building are you? Which he did, and I was fine with that. What I was not fine with was that in that same phone call, he is complaining that he can't find it because the sales guy didn't write down proper directions. He says, you know, he didn't give me directions. He didn't tell me where I was. He was throwing his sales guy totally under the bus. So he gets here, comes in, and he says he's got allergies. He goes, I'm not sick. I just have allergies. And I even gave the guy a Zyrtec. I happen to have a Zyrtec with me, and I gave him a Zyrtec. I'm like, yeah, it's dusty in here. I know. I understand. You know, it's a warehouse. We're working in here and everything. So he goes through, and he's harumphing and walking through. And I show him the garage, you know, show him where everything's going to be hooked up. I show him my paperwork on what I paid for and all of that. And it was like, well, I don't have that with me. I don't have that part. That the sales guy didn't put that on the paperwork. That's not there. He didn't say anything about having to do this. And now he's getting, you know, really upset because he has to drive back to the office, which is apparently 45 minutes away from them. So he tells me, so I got to leave. It's going to be, you know, I got to go back there and get the parts that I need to do this right. And so it'll be an hour and a half, 2 hours. So he leaves. About 40 minutes later, I get a call from this company again saying that the service guy has called in sick and he's gone home. So now he's not available to come back out. But can they send somebody else out in the afternoon? And of course, I'm working here all day. I don't care. And honestly, this guy had such a crappy attitude and kept throwing the sales guy under the bus so much that it just really, it turned me off. He may have been a perfectly good service tech installer. It just really bothered me a lot that I wanted to talk about this topic today because this kind of thing happens in our business too, right? Where we have the service techs that will throw the sales techs under the bus or frankly vice versa. It can go the other way too. But I just wonder, how do we fix that? You know, I mean, I feel like it's got to be communication. I mean, we've talked about this before, and I think it's worth going back into this and talking about it again, that first off, we have to understand that these are two totally different worlds. And so I always think back to Outback Steakhouse, and it's been a while. I've told this story before in this call, but I'll mention again for those of you that didn't hear it or whatever, but I waited tables at Outback Steakhouse, and I was an experienced server. I'd waited tables a lot before. And so when I applied for Outback Steakhouse, it surprised me when they told me that it would probably be 6 months to, I'm sorry, 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks before I would actually be serving, before I would actually be waiting a table. And one of the things that they did at Outback, they would not let any of the servers go out and wait tables, regardless of how experienced they were as servers, until they had worked every job at that restaurant, every single job, for at least a week. So I bussed tables for a week. I washed dishes for a week. I stood in the kitchen and cooked for a week. I mean, I had to, you know, follow other servers. I stood behind the bar for a week. I mean, I loved that. And the thing that was different about that particular Outback Steakhouse, and you know, obviously they're franchised and different ones are going to be different, you know, they have different philosophies. But the thing that was different about that one than any other place I had ever worked is that the camaraderie between the servers and the cooks was awesome. They got along. You know, they had a softball. They would go out and they played softball against each other. They did things together. It was really incredible. It was the first place I ever worked at any restaurant where the servers did not throw the cooks under the bus. That happens all the time. Oh, the kitchen messed it up, you know. And the cooks were actually willing to help and make those unusual meals. You know, can you leave this spice off or put this spice on half or you know, those weird requests that customers always seem to have, you know, cut the onions into moon shape. I don't know, whatever. they they actually were willing to help each other. It was incredible. So when I became regional sales manager at the company that I worked with, and Jen, you'll remember this, I tried to take that philosophy with me and bring that into the service, you know, into the service text. I saw it there all the time. We see it in our industry all the time. Stacey, I know you've talked about it before, you know, where it's a real challenge where you look, they're different worlds, right? So
yeah,
servers have, the service technicians, the installers, they're at the office at 7 a.m. They're working, and you know, they're the ones on the back under the mobile home wrapping heat tape and cobwebs and mud, you know, while or in the crawl spaces and the basements and doing all of that. They're the ones that, you know, they have the regular paycheck. They know what they're going to get paid. It's hourly. They do all the same things. They have not ever had to go home and tell their wife they can't make the mortgage payment this month because that big sale they had canceled or because something got messed up at the office. They're not working on commission. On the other hand, the sales guys do. You know, they're the ones that they go out there, they have that 7 o'clock appointment at night with the little old lady who doesn't want to buy anything but wants to tell you how she came up with the names for all of her cats, you know, and they're two different worlds, two totally different worlds. And I understand where the animosity comes from because it's the old thing, right? It takes a salesperson 2 minutes to say it and the service tech two or installer 2 hours to do it. And that can get frustrating, particularly since it's the service techs. They watch the sales guys who, you know, get to go on all the trips. The sales guys get the company cards sometimes. They get all the benefits. They get the rewards. They go home. You know, you always hear about that, right? It's the people. There are two types of jobs in this world. You have the people who shower at night and the people who shower in the morning. I heard that somewhere and I thought it was pretty profound, right? The service techs are the guys that shower at night. Those are the guys who got up and went to work and came home filthy and sweaty and hot and, you know, after having worked all day. And then you have the sales guys that shower in the morning because they are doing their sales, you know, the sales calls, and they got to be clean. I mean, it's white collar and blue collar is, you know, another term, if you will. And so they're different worlds. So it makes sense that there's going to be naturally some animosity, some frustration with each other, particularly since sales guys generally are not installers, and installers aren't sales guys, not usually. And so they're not going to always talk the same language. So to me, the solution, whether it is company driven or whether it is driven by you as an individual, I really think it has to be a top-down philosophy. I think it has to be mandatory that it happens if you want to fix this issue. But I think it's communication. I think it is getting the sales guys. I think if there should be a policy, and Jen, you'll remember this, we had a mandatory rule that our sales guys rode with the service or install techs at least once a month, sometimes more depending on what they were doing. It was mandatory. And I'm not saying just meet them at the job. Okay, I'm saying that they came at the office at 7 a.m. or 6:30 or whenever the techs got there, and they got in the truck and they rode with them all day long, and they helped and they watched and they understood. And for the most part, while there was still some conflict, you're not going to ever eliminate all of it. For the most part, I believe our service and sales departments actually got along pretty well. I think they worked with each other. We eliminated those situations where the service guy hated doing a job for this particular salesperson, or where the salesperson didn't want that service tech out there. You know, it really helped a lot with that relationship. What do you guys think? I mean, I know that I've kind of gone over this again, but tell me, okay, so I'm going to stop here for a minute. And Stacey, you started to say something. I heard you. Tell me what you guys think. I mean, is there another solution to that other than communication and understanding and empathy and getting along and working together. What is the solution?
It's tough because, you know, we run across all sorts of things. And part of the animosity is, you know, we see our guys back in the warehouse at 2 in the afternoon. Now, granted, they got to do their phone calls for the next day, unload their truck, things like that. And they think we got a cush job, but I'm not getting home until 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And but we've got one of the techs who, long 40-year tech, who thinks he should get paid full commission for sending us our service lead.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, fine, go ahead. Do their financing, do all their paperwork, then spend the 45 minutes putting in the paperwork into our lovely computer system, upload their photos and all that stuff, and then you can get paid full commission. Well, no. Yeah, I said, you know, they don't understand our side. And as a company, they're always busy making us try to understand their side.
I think that's a really good point. I think that's a really good point. Ride with the service guys to understand their side. Stacey, I think that you're absolutely right that it should go both ways. I 100% agree. That means what that means is that, I mean, it's incredible. Jen, with all the companies that we've worked with across the country, how many service techs have ever gone on one sales call ever?
I don't think I've ever seen it. I know I've always recommended it, but I don't think I have ever seen service ride with sales.
And it gets a little tougher too, right? Because sometimes you don't necessarily want the service guy on a sale with you. But I think it's
true.
Really critical. I think that there's got to be a way for that to happen. Stacey, mm-hmm. I think that you are exactly right, and I'm guilty of it. Listen to me. I just spent 20 minutes talking about how salespeople should ride
without
understand the service techs. Go ahead.
You even take a breath in between. That's how passionate you are about this.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
And show up, and you know, and they're on this big kick right now that we should be riding with techs. Because not everybody has plenty of appointments right now. Apparently, they're saying leads are down. And I went into Vic and I'm like, showed him my calendar and I said, tell me when you want me to ride with a service tech. He's like, you're not the issue. He said, but you could block out a day ahead of time that you could ride with them. And I just kind of looked at him. He said, or you could just book regular appointments and go make money. I said, thank you. I said, I don't have the – I'm running 15 appointments a week easily right now.
Yeah.
And it's – but we've also got the people that are running one or two. We've also got a couple of guys that are burnt out, so how much are they following up on their leads? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's –
So what
you know,
is your suggestion? Let's go back to your suggestion there and – I'm interested to hear what you, you know, how would we set it up where the service techs would, you know, ride with a sales? I mean, how open to that would you be to having your service techs ride with you on sales calls?
We actually used to do it a long time ago when the guys were in training. They'd have to ride with a sales rep one day. Like we had to ride with salt and bottled water route. We had to ride with a service tech. I had to ride mm-hmm. service techs twice during my initial training, plus bottled water route,
mm-hmm.
and then you set customer service, and for a day, you know. And back years ago, they used to make the I don't know about the service tech, but definitely the route guys actually ride with us for a day, but we haven't done that in a long time.
Interesting. So, you know, I think back to my Outback story, and the cooks never came out and followed the servers. I mean, I think that you make a really good point there. I think that's a – Jen, what were you going to add?
So I have a question for, like, most companies. How often do you have company meetings, not just the sales team and then the service team,
yeah.
but how often do you have company meetings? Because – there, when you have everybody sitting in the same room, if you do it more than once every 3 months or even once a month, if you do it biweekly or even weekly, I know one of the sales teams that we work with, it's every Monday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, they have a company meeting. And, you know, what's nice is at least you're seeing each other face-to-face. You're hearing each other's struggles because they'll come up with, you know, what's going on in sales, what's going on in service. It's strictly half an hour. That's it. They're pretty tight to that. But it really, I think it helps out a lot with the camaraderie between everybody. And then, that's, I guess, question number one. I think if you do like little contests where you have service and sales on, you know, one service person, one salesperson on a team together, it kind of, you know, they end up building a team instead of service against sales.
We meet everybody once a month.
Okay.
Years ago, well, we used to go in, sales used to go in also another once a month to the service guys meeting. But it got to the point where they really didn't want us there, was their attitude, because we'd bring up things. But it was for them to bring up things, too, and they're not shy about bringing up things, typically, that they think we're doing wrong. And we have in the past done times where we've brought them in breakfast or something when they've worked their butts off for a month. But the last time we did that, we kind of got a bad taste because the general manager decided that these sales reps were going to serve the techs, and we weren't allowed to eat.
Oh,
so he later apologized for it, but we basically told him to shove it, that we were never doing that again.
Well, I like the idea of the salespeople serving the – so we used to have contests where there it would be one or the other, like we would design it. Do you remember that, Jen, where we would design it together with – now, usually we would put – we would match up a service tech. We were big enough that we could do this. You know, we'd match up a service tech and a salesperson to team up, and we would have – you know, you have a couple different teams. There were a lot of different contests that we would do that were really cool. And we would try and match them up. There was one time where there was a contest between service and sales, and the salespeople lost and did have to make breakfast for all the service techs. And but they also ate. It's just they served the service tech first. And
we
then they
literally
ate
got an email on our way in saying, "Well, apparently the food is not for the sales reps, so you guys can't be eating." And
Oh my goodness!
On our end, yes. And
yeah, that's
send us this email. And
but
like,
you know, A for effort.
Like,
I mean, you got somebody there who's trying. You know, their motives are. Listen, management and trying to manage this team and bridge those gaps. That's hard. You know, sometimes, and I can tell you, speaking from experience in managing people, sometimes you get it wrong. And, you know, it's like parenting, you know, same thing. Sometimes you get it wrong, and it's trying to navigate it. And especially if you're trying to come up with unique ideas, you know, things that are different, you know, that are going to help, that are outside of the norm. So,
I think another solution, and this is something that Motive Vitality can help with, but another solution is training. And like one of the, I just gave the very important person, it was the initial contact. I gave that presentation. That's one of the things we talk about is don't throw your service and don't throw your sales or your management or whatever, anybody else in the organization, don't throw them under the bus. Don't complain about them to the customers. And, I think that having a half-hour, one-hour training on what to say and how to say it when you're in front of the homeowners, I think that's really important because, I mean, you're going to get those employees that are going to just complain to the customer, whoever's going to listen. But I think also there should be company policy stating that, you know, if we hear that you're doing that, you're getting written up. You just need to, you know, zip your lip.
Zero tolerance policy on it, on either direction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, that takes us to the end of our time. I know we've kind of touched on this topic before, but I just think it's so critically important. And those of you listening to this call, if you are in sales, there's probably more of you in sales or management listening to this call than there are in service. But this needs to be driven. It needs to be driven to make our industry better. You know, request that those policies be put in place. I mean, it really does make a difference. With that, we're going to sign off, and I'm going to say thank you and be safe, everybody. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Take care.